Lord, may the words of our mouth be true to your living word, and that your spirit may in turn lead us to your living word. In the name of the God who made us, the Son who fixed us, and the Holy Spirit that keeps us under repair. Amen. Please be seated. I want to tell you a story, but the first thing I need to do is I need you to begin to understand that you need to change your palm into something that looks like this. So I'm going to demonstrate that for you a little bit. I want to show you with my back to you, not to be rude, but so that you can see what I'm doing, and perhaps you can do this. And if you can't, don't be frustrated. I already have some that are bent up for you, like that one I just showed you, and some of you who know how to do this will be willing to help you do it when you leave church this morning. You have a palm? If you don't have a palm, raise your hand, Philip will give you one. Now, you probably have a palm that has a long thing at both ends, or a longish thing at both ends. If you're of a mind, you can tear that off. If not, don't worry about it, because I have scissors in my pocket. In fact, I have a pair of Phillips scissors that we used to use in the hospital. And I asked him earlier this morning if these scissors that I found a couple of years ago were his left on the ground, and he said no. So he left them on the ground there to benefit us today. All right, here you go. And then I want to tell you a story about a little boy who just wanted in the worst way to go see the circus. First of all, you take your palm like this, and you turn it over one turn like this, so that turn it over, it looks like that. About a third or more down from the top of the palm will be fine. And then once you have done that, I want you to go around the stem, but you want to go around and keep about the width of the bottom part of the stem. See that? And you just go all the way around. And hold the fingers. If you have numbing fingers like I have, it might be difficult, but you get it. Okay? Here you go. There. Around the horn. And you come back around again. Ah, that can keep it from flying away. Ooh. You take the spotted piece right here. And very carefully, you go in through the loop you just made, but you need to go through the back part of the loop so that when it comes out behind and not in front. That's tricky. But you experiment with it and you'll get it this far. And once you've gotten this far, I'm going to tell you a story. This little boy I mentioned. How many of you have ever witnessed the circus coming to town? Some of you have. Many of you have not. How many of you all have never been to the circus? Ooh, it's a lot of you all. Never been to a circus? Well, you see, they stopped doing circuses a long time ago, but here's the way they went. This little boy was in town. It was a small country town, and the circus had unloaded at the railroad tracks. And all of the features of the circus were paraded down the street and through the center of town, and the people lining the streets because everybody wanted to see the elephants. They wanted to see the donkeys. They wanted to see the zebra. They wanted to see the clowns, the acrobats. Who else would they want to see? The barker? You know, who wanted you to come to the latest thing in the circus? The clowns. Lion tamer and the lion in the cage. Oh, and he was so happy. He had spent a whole year saving up his money so that he could see the circus. And he cheered with everybody as everything went by in the circus. And finally, the last person in the circus came wandering down with a clown, the little clown feet, the big red nose, and he ran out into the street. And he said, "Here, here." And he put all his coins that he had saved to see the circus. And then he went home. And then he told his parents what had happened. And they were so rejoicing for him. But they said, "You only saw the parade. You didn't see the circus." We've just heard a story about people who only saw the parade. In fact, some of you know that at the same time Jesus, from Galilee, he was a northern person. He had only been to Jerusalem twice, and you can understand why the authorities were upset with him, because the last time he'd been there, he turned over the tables and he chased the money changers out. Not a very popular political figure. And so they were understandably upset with him. But these people had all lined the street. All these people had cheered him in, and you probably know that at the other end of town, there was a gateway closest to the coast where the Roman garrison was, and they also were parading into town simultaneously. Go read that in the biblical account. And there were people out there cheering the centurions and cheering the banner of the Roman emperor. And over on this side of the town, you had these other people cheering this carpenter's son riding in on the dump. Holy Week, which begins now, after we have had our parade, is a time in which you're invited not to see the circus, but to enter into the heart of what this is all about. And you need a ticket to do that. And this cross that you have, that you will put together today, this cross will be your ticket to Easter. And I want every one of you before you leave here today to have your ticket. Because it's very important not just to be a part of the parade, but to see the whole thing and to see it up close and personal. And when you do, you will understand more clearly. You will have an opportunity to see more dearly. Jesus was fond of using children to help us understand how that works. You have to come to the cross in Holy Week with beginner eyes, just like that little boy could have had if he had gone into the cross. You have to look at it like a child. And when you do, you will be awakened to the fact that the power of this story, 2,000 years later, is still touching the hearts and minds of people throughout the world. Imagine that. You know what? I haven't seen a Roman banner and a parade of centurions lately. Have you? Amen.